Welcome to Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church, where we worship God, make disciples of Jesus Christ, and serve our community and world. The following is a recorded message based on God's holy word. We would love to see you for our worship services on Sunday mornings. For more information, visit www.mattisav.org or call 217-355-5947. And may God bless you.
I want to invite our superintendent, John Lane, to come forward. We're glad to have him with us. He's been kind of monitoring our situation, whether or not we were going to be meeting, and thankful for his grace. And would you welcome him with me as he's here to share the word of God? Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Wick. Good morning. We are here. That's a start, isn't it? Pastor Wick was texting me last couple of days and letting me know about the power situation and whether or not we'll have service, whether or not we'll have air conditioning, whether or not we'll have lights. Sorry, Wick, I just laughed. Your first week. And God's got it. If there's evidence that we need him, it is when we have to make decisions as a leader that you really don't know if there's a right answer or a wrong answer. And so, welcome to lead pastoring, because it doesn't get any better than this, right? It is so good to be with you. My name is John. I'm the superintendent of Wabash Conference, and I'm really here today just to be able to install Pastor Wick as your next lead pastor. And this has been in the works for a while. God has been orchestrating this. You have been receiving him. You already know them and their family. So it's a different day than if I were just to be introducing them to you today, because we'd really focus, a lot more on you getting to know them. But many of you, most of you, you already do know them. And so today I simply want to focus in on how God gives good gifts to his people. And you might need reminding of that this week. As I was driving over, just driving through the devastation that we saw come through on Thursday, we were supposed to have a meeting at my house with the delegates of the conference on Thursday at my house and on Zoom. And one of the pastors called me about 2 o'clock, and he said, "What are we going to do? The weather's coming through right at 5. And I said, "What weather?" I hadn't even paid attention to the weather that day. And he said, "Just look online, and here's this red curve that was sweeping right through Champaign about that time. And it hit Clay City, where our campground is. Some of you who are on social media know that we lost a good number of trees, and right now we're still looking at all of the damage. We have several, one particularly cabin that's just obliterated. It's the worst destruction I've seen there in the campground. A cabin just obliterated. The dining hall roof is leaking. The new coffee cabin we were finishing is leaking. The youth center's leaking. And so I had plans to take off Friday. I have a new video game I was going to play. It's the Zelda game, if anybody wants to know. That's what I had plans. It's a good one. And me and the little kids are like, yes, if that tells you anything about my mentality. So that was going to be Friday, but instead, chainsaw driving and taking care of things. And people showed up the last couple of days. And I want to let you know that even difficult things are gifts from God. Or at the very least, his presence shows up in the midst of difficult things with the gift of hope. I want to talk about gifts today. Let me pray for us, and then we'll look at the God's word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are always at work. Lord, we thank you that we as your people, we do get a front row seat to see how you provide in situations that we don't know how things are going to work out. We thank you, Father, that you're just always at work. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that for someone today, even as we install Pastor Wick today, For someone today, hope will be restored, faith will be strengthened, the gift of the Spirit will be given to them, and our hands will be open to what you want to do in and through us. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. I want you just to think back with me on all of the gifts you've received in your life. From when you were a child, when you were waiting there at Christmas time or your birthday, to open up all of the presents that God had provided for you, your parents would say, through them, or they would say Santa Claus. Think about all of the things you were given as a young person that didn't last more than a couple days. Into the gifts that you were given as an adult from your spouse or from a friend or even from a stranger. We receive gifts every day. Not necessarily gifts that we want. Anybody ever been given a cat? Sometimes we receive gifts that we're not really sure whether it's a blessing or a curse, such as a storm, a Sunday without power, without AC. Think about all of those gifts and just recognize that we really aren't good at telling whether something new in our life is a wonderful gift or a challenging gift. One of the things that the Lord has taught me this year is to live open-handedly, trusting that whether good things or bad things happen, God is the God that gives good gifts to his people. I want to read a scripture. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, but I actually want to read Matthew chapter 7 first, as we just think about what does it mean to receive gifts from God, particularly gifts in the title of the message that will help us to grow up, that will help us to mature. Jesus himself told us this in Matthew chapter 7. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Just as a side note, it's really interesting that golden rule of do unto others as you would have them do unto you is linked there with the good gifts God gives you. If you know how to give good gifts to people and how to receive them, don't you think that God is going to give good gifts to his people? And then in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, I attempted to read the whole chapter, but for the sake of time, we'll just start at 11. Go back and read Ephesians 4 and 5, which are these amazing chapters about how God develops us into maturity. How he moves us past self-centeredness into full maturity in Christ, primarily wrapped around love and holiness. Love and holiness. And how does he do it? Verse 11, Christ himself gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. He gave these people to equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature. We grow up into mature love, into mature holiness, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, I would say both individually and collectively as the church. And then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. We'll be anchored people. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. God gives good gifts to his people, and part of maturity is learning to receive God's gifts every day, whether they seem as a blessing or a curse. Part of maturity is learning to see that, as one pastor stated, in the grace of God, there really aren't any good days or bad days. There's only days of grace. On the good days, it's really evident that God is good and life is good and the sun is shining. And it's easy to say God is good and look at all that he has given us. On the difficult days, God gives strength in the midst of hardship. Don't mistake me. I'm not saying God gives death or God gives hardship. He uses those things. And in the midst of difficult things, those days of grace, God is giving strength. So there really aren't any good days or bad days. Is today a good day or a bad day? That's a trap. Yes. It's a day of grace. And one of the realities is that we as humans, we really do just have a hard time telling whether something is a good thing that's coming into our life or a difficult thing. The Andersons will appreciate this. When I was 19 years old, I went with a group called Operation Mobilization, which was a kind of jeans and t-shirt missionary group, into Europe. George Verwer, who just passed away a couple weeks ago, one of the giants of the Reach the World movement, had started Operation Love in Europe, and he had come to our college, and the Lord prompted my heart, and I sent in an application, and at age 19, I was sent to Miskolc, Hungary. And while we were in Belgium in training, the leaders of that group pulled us all together. There was a group of us about 15 to 16. The youngest was 17, and then I was 19, then everyone else was older, from about five different countries. The leaders of the group pulled us aside, and they said, "John, come over." We went into a side tent, and this is what they said: "We want you to lead this group for the next 6 weeks in Miskolc, Hungary." I was 19 years old. And there were like old people, like 30, and 40, and 50 where I am now. I said, "Are you serious?" They said, "Yes, we want you to pray about it tonight." And so I went and I prayed about it. I didn't sleep at all. I didn't sleep. And the next morning I said, "Okay, I will say yes. I don't know why, but I'll say yes to this opportunity." For 6 weeks, I led our international team there in Miskolc, Hungary, as we sought to get to know people and minister and love them and do all kinds of things that just stretched me way out of my 19-year-old body. The first night, we camped the whole 6 weeks. The first night in the campground, we got there. Praise the Lord, everyone was still alive. I was winning. We got there. We set up our tents. We put all of our luggage in our different tents. We sat around a fire, kind of trying to get to know each other in multiple languages. We'd only known each other for 4 days. And we went to bed. And the rain started. And the rain came. And the rain came. And about 3 a.m, I hear the little German girl go, "John, I'm floating away." I burst out of my tent and ran over to her tent, and the mattress, she's floating. She was just floating almost out of her tent. Our whole campground flooded 2 to 3 inches, and everybody got out. And this, what seemed like a curse, unified us as a team. As we were there cleaning up, and the next morning we're like, we're exhausted, but we're alive. And it unified us in a way that no amount of team building planning I could do would ever surmise. God gives good gifts to his people. whether they be seen as challenges, hardships, and difficulties, or they be seen as the good things. I don't know if you've ever done a study about all of the gifts that God gives to the people, to his people, and to all people. The scripture tells us the Lord causes the sun and the rain to shine on the wicked and the good. Whether you've been a good person this week or a bad person, it doesn't matter. God's going to take care of the earth. He's going to water it. He's going to cause the sun to shine. God gives out of the goodness of his heart to people that even curse his name. The scripture tells us in John that he's given us his son to rescue us, to save us, and that out of love, this gift flowed of himself to us. Jesus tells us this verse in Matthew, in Luke, it says this: how much more will God the Father give the Holy Spirit to those of you who ask? God gives himself, he gives his son, he gives the Spirit, he gives salvation, he gives you life, he gives you community. So often we think about the church as an event. I mean, that's what we're focused on this week. Are we going to have this event? But you know it's more than an event, don't you? God has given you one another. Multiple times throughout Scripture, it speaks about God giving amazing things to his people. In this chapter, it says he gives leaders. He gives influencers. He gives gifts to his people that are people and strengths or assignments by people. You have had an amazing pastor for quite a long time. Pastor Herb, your loss is our benefit in Bedford, Indiana. He's moving over near me, and that's our gain. But Pastor Herb's time to say goodbye came, and you all celebrated him well. And God has given you amazing gifts of leaders throughout the years. Even when there are leaders that God gave you that you weren't sure you wanted. Not like right now, but I'm not going to ask you to testify. But there are times churches receive a leader and you're not sure how that person fit in the history of the church. I'm not going to tell you which church, but one of the churches I pastored, I followed a pastor that was challenging to love. An amazing guy. He accomplished a lot, but he was just a little bit difficult to love at times. I recently went back to that church in a celebration, because after he left, I stepped in from the associate ministry position into the senior ministry position. And the reason that I am actually here in Wabash Conference is because that pastor hired me. And I was stepped aside at this event, at this church I'm not going to name, and a pastor I won't tell you. And one of the lay people said this to me. He said, "John, I know a lot of people talk about that pastor as if what happened?" He said, "Do you know without him, we wouldn't have gotten you?" I'm like, "Yeah, trust me." I know. A 5-minute conversation around a fire pit in another state and a phone call and opened up the doors. And I said yes. And myself and my wife and my family, we're a part of the Wabash Conference because of this one pastor. We really don't know what is a curse or what is a blessing. And it's far better to receive things from God as if they're just grace. He'll give you strength if it's challenging. He will make it evident when it's clear it's good. But you have a great next pastor. Pastor Wick, I have just grown to love, and his family. In fact, I'm actually more interested in getting to know them more now from what I do know about them. And there has been an orchestration of God that I think that has landed him here. And I really want you to see him as the scriptures say here that God gives gifts of apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to his body. I want you to see him as a gift. And when we receive a gift, we are supposed to know how to manage it or receive it or respond to it. Paul tells us here in this chapter that the whole reason that these gifts, whether they're people or spiritual gifts of apostles and teachers and pastors, they were given for a reason. Hear me. They were given to help us to grow up. That's hugely important. Because what the pastorate has sometimes become in the church in America is we have become event planners, not disciple makers. We have become event planners, not disciple makers. An event planner makes sure the building has AC. You messed up this week, Wick. And makes sure things run well. There's nothing wrong with being an event planner. We need event planners. But that's not what the scripture tells us that God gave these gifts to the church for. To organize and to manage. There's an order, yes, that we bring as leaders. The reason that God gives you mentors and teachers and prophets and pastors and apostles, the reason he gives those to me is that he can help me grow up in him into full maturity in love and in holiness so that I say yes to him and no to my lesser self. And that means we receive a pastor. We receive them into our lives. Pastor Wick is a gift to you. Sarah is a gift to you. The family is a gift to you. So what does it mean? How do we receive this gift? And then we're going to go into a time of installation. From experience, I can tell you that when I know that my people, our people, are praying for me, really praying for me, I know that the Lord and the people have my back. If Pastor Wick and Sarah and the family are not on your prayer list, I encourage you to write it down now. How will you remember to pray for them? How will you remember to pray for the church? How will you remember to pray for the ministry here? Whether it's a sticky note on your refrigerator or a reminder on your phone, you're all forgetful. So figure out a way to remind yourself to be in prayer, to strengthen Wick as your lead pastor. Because I can tell you there's an enemy. And the enemy would want nothing better than to send discouragement and despair into the heart of leaders. And have them say, I just want to give up. So pray for protection. Second of all, remember that he's set aside but human. He is set aside, but he is human. To be set aside in the ministry means that there is a special place for our gifts as well as your gifts. And for those of us that have upfront speaking gifts, sometimes it can feel like we're put on a pedestal. And a pedestal never serves well the people or the leader. There's an appropriate amount of respect, an appropriate amount of giving the due that is afforded the position. But when we raise someone up to the level almost of God themselves, anything that they do that smacks of disappointment, we become disappointed in God. This last week when I was at the other church I wasn't going to tell you about, they stood up and gave testimony to the things that God accomplished in and through me while we were there. And my wife Jill, one of my favorite lay people, stood up and she said, I will never forget the time that Pastor John told me to shut up in China. And I didn't even remember that. But I remember thinking she probably needed it. But I didn't say that. And I went to her afterward, and she's like, yeah, that was just shocked to me. I said, tell me the context. And it didn't sound as bad when I heard it as when she heard it. But that in and of itself could have caused her to say, I'm done with this pastor and church. And you know what? If you've ever been on a 15, 20-hour plane flight, you want to tell everybody to shut up. And I'm not excusing myself because I apologized again for this thing I did 25 years ago, but don't build WIC up to the place where if there's decisions that are made that are disappointing to you, somehow that is a God thing. Set aside, but he's human. And finally, cooperate together for the advancement of God's kingdom. Cooperate together for an advancement of God's kingdom. If you are a follower of Jesus, you have a spiritual gift or are a spiritual gift to the church and your community. You have a place and you are needed. And one of the things that every lead pastor knows, having come through COVID, is every church is a church plant now. Every church is in a rebuilding situation. Every one of them. Every church is trying to reestablish itself, trying to find a good place to have a witness in the community. And this is not a time for any believer in Jesus to be sidelined. You can have a position that you are given by the leadership of the church and serve well, but you can also have a God-ordained, self-ordained position that no one asked you to do. Someone needs to pick up trash they see in the yard. And we're never going to assign that to someone and put them on the board. But trust me, someone's got to do it. There's a place if you would just keep your eyes open. Be that person that when you go to be with the Lord and people start noticing trash around and they're like, why isn't this getting picked? Oh, that's right, John died. What is it that you are bringing that's helping us to advance the mission? Cooperate together for the advancement of God's kingdom. God gives good gifts. You are a gift to this church. This church is a gift to this community. And the Anderson family is a gift to you, to the church, to this community, to our conference. May the Lord strengthen you as you accomplish what he's called you to do. You should have received an installation liturgy as you walked in. It looks like this. There are two parts of this installation. The first part are words that you and myself will respond back and forth to as a commitment as a church. And then I'm going to call Pastor Wick and Sarah to come on up. And then there's a part that I'm going to ask him questions. But we'll begin with you, Madison Avenue Free Methodist Church. Thank you for showing up today. Thank you for enduring the heat, navigating the fallen trees. Let's commit ourselves to the Lord as I walk us through this. Are you ready? The appointing of a new lead pastor to the Madison Avenue Free Methodist Church, it marks a new beginning in the ongoing life of this congregation. We believe that as a congregation, it is appropriate that you declare your renewed consecration to building Christ's kingdom. And as you receive Pastor Chadwick Anderson, do you pledge to support him with prayer and understanding and cooperation? And you respond, will you promise to attentively receive his ministry of the word and share the responsibility of teaching and learning? Will you receive him into your hearts and church, work with him for the welfare of the church and the winning of souls, encourage him in his stand for the right, forgive him when he makes mistakes, and follow his leadership as he follows Christ? And you respond, okay, I lost a few of you. Let us together renew our commitment to the work of the Lord and of sharing the good news of salvation to the redemptive witness of the Free Methodist Church in Champaign and beyond. to heal people's spirits and relationships, to lead our children and our youth to Jesus, to care for the broken and those who suffer, and to fulfill the Great Commission. I'm going to ask Pastor Wick and Sarah to come on up. Pastor Wick, I have some questions that I want to ask you as well as you make this commitment to serve the Lord, to serve His people, to serve this community. You've recently been appointed lead pastor of Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church. Will you renew your commitment to Christ and His ministry through the church?
I will.
Will you be constant in prayer, faithful in your walk with Christ? Will you be diligent in study and careful in the administration of His church? And with God's help, will you preach the word with clarity and with power?
I will, with God as my strength.
Will you be a servant of God and kind to all, appreciative and approachable, radiant and responsive, gentle and strong, encouraging and loving?
I will, with God's help.
Will you allow the Holy Spirit to fill your life so that the fruit of the Spirit is manifest?
I will, God being my helper.
Will you, by your own Christian experience and through biblical preaching, lead your people to know the Holy Spirit's sanctifying and empowering work in their lives?
I will, God being my helper.
Do you accept the freedom and the faith and the fellowship of the Free Methodist Church and the Wabash Conference, and will you seek through them to fulfill the Great Commission and the Great Commandment?
I do, in God's strength.
And upon these promises, I now install you, Chadwick Anderson, as the lead pastor of Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let me pray for you, and then we'll applaud. Would you just reach out your hands towards us as we pray, if you're comfortable with that? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for this man and for this woman and their family. Lord, the weight of leadership sometimes is heavy. But we thank you, Father, that you are the Lord of the church. We thank you, Father, that you have never called us into something that you have not equipped us to be able to accomplish. And so we bless Pastor Wick. We ask for your strength in his life. We pray for a hedge of protection around them and their family, Lord. We pray for just wonderful times of communion together as a family, restorative moments. Help him to get into a good rhythm, Father. We pray at the times when he is stretched that you will provide people to come around him. And then we pray, Lord, for the ministry of the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church. We pray, Father, that you will take us to where we haven't been before with the same gifts you've given us before. We thank you, Father, for this church. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in the weeks, months, years to come. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Yep.